is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Malcolm Hoenlein, my colleague and co-host and friend, the Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We go immediately to Jerusalem to Seth Franzman, the war correspondent for the Jerusalem Post, a member of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, and the author of a book I highly recommend, The October 7th War, The Story So Far, The Events of These Last Weeks, will also be included in future telling. We go now to a question that has been raised several times to me over these last days, which is that the Israelis know that the source of the threat is in Tehran, not in Beirut, not in Cairo, certainly not in Gaza. The threat is driven by Tehran. What is to be done between now and January 20th, if anything, knowing that the last strike the Israelis visited upon Iran is said to have removed all air defenses? In other words, the aggression by Iran cannot be in any fashion preservation of the regime if and when someone strikes. So the question I have to Seth immediately is that talk in Jerusalem of ending the regime now, Seth, between now and January 20th? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. I would be reticent to think that Israel wants to pursue any type of adventure like that with Iran at the moment. I think that Israel's already fighting a two-front war against Hezbollah and Hamas. It has a lot on its plate. It has to achieve things in both fronts. The Iranian regime, of course, is a huge threat, and it's plausible that they may be seeking, obviously, to increase their nuclear weapons capabilities, which would be a red line at some point. But I think that Israel would be cautious about stirring the pot there in the next 2 months, as opposed to waiting for the Trump administration to come into power and then trying to work with them on some sort of maximum pressure.
Malcolm?
When we see the developments, the outreach by Iran to Saudi Arabia, the fact that the chiefs of staff of both armies, Iran and Saudi Arabia, met in Tehran and invited them into joint exercises and other things. And at the same time, we see the reach by Iran to Iraq and I know you've covered the meetings between the foreign ministers and the Quds forces outreach to Iraqi forces. What does this tell you about Tehran's efforts? Is it a sign of weakness? Is it an attempt to expand its influence in advance of the deal? What do you think the implications are?
I think the Iranians are on a full court press for the last 2 years or so in the region in terms of diplomacy. That, look, Iran already basically controls, you know, Yemen, Lebanon, parts of Syria. And to be honest, I would say that Iranians kind of control parts of Iraq. But they've been on a full court press, as you noted, in terms of the reconciliation with Saudi Arabia that was brokered by the Chinese, and also, you know, trying to get inroads in Egypt and other places. So I think they would like to use the fact Israel is distracted by a massive war, a war that Iran's proxies are fighting against Israel, and to use that fact to then fill the vacuum of Israeli diplomacy in the region and kind of ring Israel with a diplomatic offensive as well. And that would give Israel a fait accompli in the sense that Israel is then surrounded by Iranian proxies that it fights a land war with, and then it's also surrounded by diplomatic problems that the Iranians have created, which is a kind of full court press, which would be bad news for Israel, I think.
The Lebanese Hezbollah continue to fire rockets and drones into Israel, causing casualties routinely and terrifying the population that's there, preventing the population from returning. Right now, it looks to be that the IDF has secured the border area. Or is there any thinking about having to go farther than the border area, to either the Litani or onto Beirut itself to stop the rockets?
Currently, Hezbollah has launched 16,000 rockets in 13 months, which is a lot. And as you noted, 60,000 Israelis cannot return home in the north because of these threats. And I think 16 Israelis have been killed since the Israeli offensive against Hezbollah began late September. So but I don't think that Israel currently, you know, really wants to go deeper into Lebanon than a few kilometers, because the current tactical operation there is basically to send in an IDF units, like battalion-sized units, take over a village, uproot the terrorist infrastructure, and then leave the village. They're not grabbing land, so it's very different than 1967 or some of the other conflicts. And it's unclear if they want to move to another phase. I think they'd like to see a ceasefire relatively soon.
Malcolm?
What do you see in terms of the reports on Iranian missile production and use in regional conflicts, the threat that Tehran poses to its neighbors? Do you see Iran leveraging these capabilities, based on what you just said, to influence outcomes in Yemen, Syria, Lebanon? And can the international community do anything? Do you see them doing anything, especially between now and January 20th?
I don't think the international community is going to do much against Iran. I mean, Iran has set the whole region aflame. I mean, October 7th and what the Iranians have done in terms of, you know, operationalizing Hezbollah and the Houthis to attack ships and also using Iraqi militias to launch drones, and what's it doing in Syria. I mean, this is really bad for the region, but no one is really interested in confronting them. I think a lot of countries in the region are kind of afraid of Iran. I mean, they know that this is a crazy regime. The Iranian regime is not that wealthy, and it doesn't have a very big army, but it does have a lot of missiles, and it keeps building them. And these missiles are getting longer range and more precise. And Iran has showed in the past it was willing to attack Saudi Arabia in 2019. So countries, I think, are very worried that, you know, Iran could rain down missiles on Saudi Arabia or Bahrain or UAE. Most of these countries would prefer to buy quiet, I think, and not have to end up in the situation that Israel's in. They see what it looks like. They'd like to have commercial flights flying out, as opposed to Ben-Gurion International Airport, where basically El Al is the main carrier now.
There are reports of the IAF operating along the Lebanon-Syrian border. To what end, Seth? Is this a convoy? What are they striking?
Well, basically, the Hezbollah is using the borders of Lebanon and the connection with Syria to bring in what you could imagine, either munitions or missiles or parts for drones or everything that Hezbollah needs to sustain itself. So I think Israel has acted, you know, to go after these border crossings and try to prevent any of the smuggling that has gone on for years. The question is whether or not precision airstrikes alone, you know, will really stop that or deter it, or will the enemy just move the smuggling, you know, a few miles down the road? Of course, you need a road to do it on, but I think that's the big question mark, is whether it can be fully cut off.
Do you think quickly that the Iranians are ignoring the domestic unrest? Do they believe that they can carry both fronts? Or do you think that the crackdown, the sign as designated by the increased executions, means that they will focus more and more on restrictions on their own people?
I think Iran is always worried about getting involved in any much larger direct confrontation or war, because it does know that it is widely hated at home. But I think we've seen in the past, Iran has gone through several major upheavals in the last decade. And each time the regime has basically waited them out, and then it plays off all the minorities against each other, whether it's Kurds in one area or Baluch in another, or Arabs or what have you. And it kind of weathers a storm. This regime is very smart. It's been in power a long time, and it's been hated for a large period of that time. So I think it's quite skilled at finding ways to stay in power without being excessively brutal like the Saddam regime of like gassing hundreds of thousands of people, which the Iranian regime doesn't do that. It kills relatively small numbers over time.
Seth Franzman, the author of The October 7th War, In Jerusalem, Malcolm Honlein. I'm John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.